In elementary school, we were all taught that we have five basic senses. They are seeing and hearing and smelling and touching and tasting. In recent years, some scientists have said that we have more than five basic senses. You may have heard of a sixth sense. You may have heard of an eighth sense. But have you heard of 33 senses? There are some scientists today who say that human beings have 33 different senses. Well, I'm going to stick with the KISS principle. You know the KISS principle, K-I-S-S, keep it simple, stupid. I'm just going to talk about the five basic senses, okay? And I thought it would be interesting to explore those five basic senses in terms of how you and I experience God. So starting today, I'm going to start with the sense of taste. And here is that familiar verse again, taste and see that the Lord is good, Psalm 34. Yes, I know that's not talking about taste buds. It has a special meaning, and we're going to talk about that. That verse in Psalm 34 is closely tied to this verse in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, which says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. I think you all know that I grew up in North Carolina. My parents, my family members, all my relatives were real Southerners. I married Elizabeth. Her parents, she lived in Atlanta, Georgia, but her parents came from Philadelphia, and they were not Southerners. A few weeks after Elizabeth and I were married, some of my Southern family members came to visit us in our little student housing apartment at Florida State University. And Elizabeth did not know how to cook. And she had to cook for my Southern relatives. She was quite intimidated by the whole process. She chose chicken breast, and she put butter on it and rosemary and some mushrooms and baked it, and it was delicious. We had a very small table in our very small apartment. And you could sit around the table, and there was room at the table for our plates. But there was not room at the table for serving dishes. So Elizabeth had to serve everyone's plate from this little counter in our little kitchen. And my niece came up to her. She was probably 10 years old. My niece came up to her, and Elizabeth said, would you like some chicken? And my niece said a Southern expression that if you were to translate it, it is, yes, please. But the expression is, I'll have a bite of one. Except that's not what she said. She said, I'll have a bite of one. And Elizabeth was totally confused. She had no idea what she was saying. And finally, she figured out the word bite. She said, you're saying that you just want one bite, sweetheart? She said, no, I'll have the whole thing. And so she gave her the whole thing, flabbergasted. What have I married into? Now, my niece wanted the whole chicken breast, but she talked like she only wanted a little taste. Is that what David meant in Psalm 34? Taste and see that the Lord is good. No. And nor did he mean to put the Lord in your mouth and chew him up. That's not what he meant. The Hebrew word translated taste literally means to experience God. I suppose you could say that's a little misleading. But that's what it means. And when you do experience God, you see him. The word see is also a little misleading. It has nothing to do with eyesight, because it literally means to understand him, to comprehend him, to know him. When you experience God, it increases your understanding of him. It increases your comprehension of him. You get to know God better when you experience him. What about you? Do you want a whole serving of God? Or do you want to be satisfied with just a little taste, a bite of one? We said this before. Too many Christians are so shallow in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that all they do is to come to a church service for 1 hour or so, most Sundays, before they eagerly head out to a restaurant or to what other recreation they have planned for themselves on Sunday. I can remember in my little town of Rockingham, North Carolina, how incredulous my mother was of our Southern Baptist neighbors. They weren't next door, they were across the street. I can see that house right now today. She was incredulous because these Southern Baptists went to church on Sunday morning, and then they turned around and went back to church again on Sunday night and had another worship service and did the whole thing over again. My mother said, they are religious fanatics. Once is enough, she said. Can you imagine what she had to say when they turned around on Wednesday night and went back for another service the same week? Fanatics! What about you? Are you content to spend just 1 hour a week experiencing God? And let's be honest, about half of this hour is focused on witnessing God through worship, and the other half is spent sitting there listening to me talk about experiencing God. So if you think about it, you maybe are only spending about 30 minutes out of your week experiencing God together. Are you okay with that? You're just having a bite of one rather than a full understanding of who Almighty God is, a full comprehension of who he is. And if that's the case, brothers and sisters, you are missing out on so much, and you probably don't even realize it. Taste and see. In other words, open your mind and your heart to comprehend God and experience the wonders of God in their fullest. As the hymn says, come all Christians, be committed. 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 As I was thinking about this topic further, tasting to experience God, I could not help but think about that huge miracle that literally involved eating and tasting, and that was God providing manna for his people during the Exodus. It says in Exodus 16:31, it tasted like wafers made with honey. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Like Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. The people were thrilled with that manna at first, and then they got tired of it. So what did they do? They started grumbling and complaining. Do you remember the first time you met Jesus Christ? Do you remember when he revealed himself to you and you first gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you're like many of us here, it was an exhilarating time that was filled with joy and excitement. It tasted great. Did it last? Or did you lose some of that sparkle over time? So many Christians are very, very attractive when they first know Jesus Christ, only to become stale and unattractive as time goes by and their relationship with Him grows more distant. They just don't like manna anymore. You don't have to be around them very long before you discover that the joy of the Lord is not really there. They just grumble and complain all the time. And no wonder they're not tasting the goodness of the Lord in their lives, because they've pushed back from the table. Do you know anybody like that? It's not just older people that I'm talking about who are prone to grumble, but it seems like the older people get, the more their grumbles increase in frequency and in volume. It kind of goes with the territory, I guess. Do you know anybody like that? Don't let that happen to you. Don't be that way. If it's already happened, proactively seek first the kingdom of God. Return to your first love. Pray what David prayed in Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Lord, please restore to me the joy of your salvation. Do you need to pray that? Pray it. Restore to me, Lord, the joy of your salvation. Pray it. I'm reminded of what Jesus told the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2 when he said, "You have forsaken your first love. Repent and do the things you did at first. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life." Do you wonder what that tastes like? And in Revelation 3, Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, he said, "Because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." Does lukewarm describe you? Jesus continued, "So be earnest. Be earnest." And he said, "And repent." That's twice he said that. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him." Do you wonder what that tastes like? I think I'll rename that hymn, "Come On Christians," and be recommitted. Be recommitted. Okay. Here's another way that we experience God through tasting his wonders. And this one may be the most neglected of all. I'm reading from Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97. The psalmist said, "Oh, I love your law, O God. I meditate on it all day long." Then he talks about the benefits of meditating on the Word of God. He continues, he said, "Your commands make me wiser than my enemies." Would you like to be wiser than your enemies? And he says, "I have more insight than all my teachers." Would you like to have insight more than your teachers? He says, I have more understanding than the elders. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me, here it comes, how sweet are your words to my taste. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you see what I mean when I said this may be the most neglected one of all? Let me ask you this. Do you read? Do you meditate? Do you taste? Do you experience the Word of God regularly in your life? Don't answer. I know that there are people in here who do. But I'll bet there's people in here who do not. I have to admit something to you. I'm not sure how I would answer that question if it were not for this. When I became a full-time minister of music in 1971, 52 years ago, yikes, I decided that I was going to have a short Bible study at the beginning of every choir rehearsal. I mean, we're the prayer warriors, we're the worship leaders of the church. If we're not into the Word of God, we're frauds. So I had a short Bible study at the beginning of every choir rehearsal. It made a huge difference in the way the choir sang their hymns and anthems. And it forced me to spend some time in the Word of God to get ready for it. And then when I founded the National Christian Choir in 1984, almost 40 years ago, I continued that tradition every week. And when I became your pastor over 12 years ago, I had to more than quadruple the amount of time that I spent into the Word of God just to prepare these messages. If I had not had those motivations, I have to say that I wonder if I would have meditated and read the Word of God. I wonder how obedient I would have been to what I'm talking about. I don't like to admit that, much less even think about it, but it may be true. I mean, I like television. I can easily talk to you about some of the shows that I love to watch on television every day if I could. I like to play games on my iPad. I'm pretty good at some of them too. I have a routine. I have about 6 games and I rotate through them almost every day. And I can find all kinds of ways to fill my time and hobbies. I like to eat. So I like to cook. I wonder if I would spend time regularly every day in the Word of God if it weren't for the motivations I have in my life. Do you even have a bite of one? When it comes to the Bible, when it comes to God's holy word, do you even open it? For those of you who might say no, I've tried to think of a way to motivate you to do that, and then I decided it's not up to me. It's up to you, and it's up to God in you, and it's up to God with you to do that. I will try this, however. I'm going to read to you a scripture from Hebrews 6, verse 4. Before I do, I want you to know that some commentators say that this is perhaps the most terrible passage in all of Scripture. I'd never heard that before, but I read that and I thought, wow, what is this? And they struggle with exactly what this means. See what you think it means. Hebrews 6:4, it says, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Wow. If you have lost your sense of wonder in God, if you have lost your sense of awe of who the Lord is, and if you are not tasting the sweetness of His Word, the Bible, regularly, then you have fallen away, and you are guilty of crucifying Jesus all over again. That's what this passage appears to say. Is that where you are? Is that where you want to be? Is there any wonder that people in the world look at some Christians and say, is that all that Christianity means to you? Is that all that Jesus Christ means to you? Huh? You don't even read His Word. You don't even eat the meal that He prepared for you. This is Hebrews 2:9, another awful truth. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, in other words, He was made like us, mere human beings. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, but now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God, listen, He might taste death for everyone. He tasted the bitterness of death for you. I'm going to quote another hymn. I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou might ransomed be and raised up from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given me? I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given to me? Here's the next verse. I suffered much for thee, more than your tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? If you can't find it within yourself, brothers and sisters, to pick up your Bible and read it regularly, then you deserve to stand before Him face to face and answer the questions that I just read in that hymn. If that doesn't motivate you a little bit, then I guess the writers of Hebrews is correct. You're impossible. As you know, Jesus liked to teach in interesting stories called parables. They conveyed spiritual truth. Here is one of them. It's from Luke 14. It says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell all those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Is that pitiful or what? I just bought a field and I'm going to go see it. Excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there's still room. Then the master told his servant, well, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. And then Jesus ended the story with this. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. Who are you in that story? Who am I in that story? You have a standing invitation from God to taste His goodness every single day and to experience His fullness in many, many different ways. What are you going to do with His invitation? We sang these words last Sunday. By the way, I thought last Sunday was a great, great service. I loved it. I hope you agree. We sang these words last Sunday, and we're going to sing them again today. Here, O my Lord, I see Thee face to face. Here I would touch and handle things unseen. Here would I grasp with firmer hand eternal grace and all my weariness upon Thee lean. Here would I feed upon the bread of God. Here drink with Thee the royal wine of heaven. Here would I lay aside each earthly load. Here taste afresh the calm of sin forgiven. Brothers and sisters, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I feel like a dad disciplining his children. But it's I who need to be disciplined. We fall short, Lord, of what You call us to do in so many ways. We do not extol You all day long. We do not always have Your praise on our lips. We fail to taste and experience You even when You are pouring Yourself out for us. Help us, Lord. Restore to us the joy of Your salvation. And help us to be earnest and to seek You with our whole heart. May everyone who sees us and hears us and experiences us experience You in us. Not to our glory, Lord, but to Yours. In Jesus' name, amen.